Introduction. A reading from the selected talks of Sadhguru Upasani Maharaj of Sakodi, India. Volume 2, Part A, page 54. This talk is related to Prarabdha. Prarabdha is a Sanskrit word which means to begin, initiate or commence, enter upon, or entrepreneurship. According to Upasani Maharaj, to initiate means to incur prarabdha, to play a leadership role in decision-making, especially on matters of fate, destiny, or business matters, either for oneself, family, or an associated group. Prarabdha is incurred when one acts independently, when one plays an active and deciding role, rather than an inactive, passive, or supportive role. A reading from the selected talks of Sadhguru Upasani Maharaj of Sakodi, India. Volume 2, Part A, page 54.
Having no prarabdha to their credit, women are normally entitled to attain godhood without any effort. In these days, however, they are given such education that they long to take responsibilities on themselves and act upon their own, with the result that they are denied their natural advantageous state of not forming any prarabdha. The present education makes them feel as to why they should not be independent. Why should they play second fiddle to their father or husband? Why should they not earn and spend on their own? Such thoughts of independence are really very harmful, because they not only make the effortless attainment of godhood impossible, but also lead them to actions which cause prarabdha, and lead them to the endless chain of birth and death, and the consequent sufferings and pain. As a result of the present system of education, some women are often heard to say that under the garb of religion, men keep them dependent, make them obey their orders, and keep them restrained at home. Such women are not real women. They are really the reborn men who were addicted to women in their former life. That is why they talk in such a fashion that does not become a real woman. A real righteous woman will never talk like that. It is not in her nature to freely mix and talk in men's company. The dignity of a woman is her modesty. There is nothing more shameful for a woman than to confront and look at any man for any reason, even though they are now in female form. These present educated women are really the reborn men, who were very proud of their education and were addicted to women. It would be better if these women think over a little, appreciate and understand the importance of the prarabdha-less state of a woman, and then behave themselves as they should, to liberate themselves from the prarabdha formed by their actions they had done as men in their previous life. After all, a woman has no prarabdha and is able to lead the menfolk associated with her to liberation, along with herself. Why should not the present educated woman thus liberate herself and the men along with her as well? It is the actions that are done independently that form the prarabdha and make a person take innumerable births, one after another. As a woman now, to absolve herself from the prarabdha, it has been ordained that she, that was he in previous life, should do bhajana, puja, service of God and saints, study of detachment, etc. So also it is laid down that now as a woman, she should remain virtuous and do no actions on her own, Prarabdha is made by a man and not by a woman. And the man can liberate himself easily through the Prarabdha-less woman. In fact, it forms the principal means for him to do so. It is the Prarabdha-less woman that is able to attain godhood first. And it is through such woman that man is able to reach the same. Thus, both the man and the woman, with mutual help, can quickly attain the bliss. It is thus evident that if a woman begins to act on her own, her actions will form prarabdha and lead her to endless birth. That is why it has been ordained that a man alone should form the prarabdha and the woman should remain without it. It is for this reason that it has been customary amongst many Marwadis, Gujaratis, Muslims, royal families, etc., for the women not to take part in the external affairs of the world. What of this? These women even avoid to see the face of a man, the maker of the prarabdha. Whatever the modern woman might say, these women always prefer to hide their faces behind the veil, lest they are seen by any man. They dress in such a way that even their nail does not become visible to a man. Many royal families are seen to follow this veil system. When these women have to move out and have to use a vehicle for the same, the whole vehicle is so covered that throughout the journey they remain completely concealed. The veil is not a matter of some useless custom. It has a great principle behind it. Men belonging to these sects are always busy in the affairs of the world. They are immersed in the duels. They are steeped in rajoguna. They do all sorts of business, fights, wars, diplomacy, and so on. All this is bound to cause prarabdha. Being continually busy in their business, it does not become possible for them to do anything else. They cannot find time to perform any rituals, etc., to absolve themselves from the prarabdha they form. Hence, the faith has ordained that they continue to form prarabdha, but their women should remain so inactive that they should form none. That is why women are so secluded from men, that they should not have any temptation to do any action likely to cause the prarabdha. The veil is the principal means to keep them aloof like that. This is the real purpose of the veil. These women are prohibited from taking any part in any business, the give and take of this world, or the politics dealing with the country and the kingdoms, and so on. Being actively inactive in all worldly affairs, they form no prarabdha. They remain without any prarabdha, that is, virtually in the state of godhood, because God also is seen to remain in a similar prarabdha-less state. God has actually said, "I am always in the heart of such prarabdha-less virtuous women." Due to such godly state these women remain in, that their menfolk are always seen to prosper in all walks of life, and their families are seen to derive both the temporal and spiritual good. In days of old, it was customary to choose a virtuous and charming girl as a bride. Such a girl is always seen to bring good luck, prosperity, fame, and virtuous progeny. It is obvious that the parents of such a girl must have similar qualities. After all, virtue alone can beget virtue. Children of really virtuous parents are bound to be virtuous. But look at the present children. They are seen to be the result of wicked and painful destiny. It is needless to say that their parents must be of similar nature. The fault of begetting such progeny thus lies with their parents. This points out the way to real improvement. A really virtuous girl is always without prarabdha and forms the principal means to liberation. Such women serve as a happy medium for easy liberation of their menfolk steeped in Rajaguna and engrossed continually in the affairs of the world. It is thus in their own interest the men should endeavor to keep women in an inactive state, that is, in their natural state of prarabdhalessness. And this is exactly what has been ordained. There is another reason for endeavoring to keep a woman in that state. Even though her husband be steeped in Rajaguna, such a prarabdhaless woman always begets progeny with godly qualities. Her children are always virtuous and rise to importance in the world. They are healthy, handsome, respectable, always successful in whatever they undertake, and quickly rise in any walk of life. Such was the progeny the men of old used to have. Even today, wherever you see such children, investigation will always bring out the salient truth that they are born of an actively inactive, detached, virtuous, charming, and prarabdhaless mother. See a little carefully, and you will find that in the families of men of those sects doing big business successfully, or great successful politicians, diplomats, scholars, etc., the mother is always a passive, detached, simple, virtuous person given to God and the faith. Take this common example. If the soil be originally good, then with proper manure and nurturing, even a bad seed will grow into a fine tree. On the other hand, the best seed will grow into a rickety tree if the soil is bad. In the same way, if the women are virtuous, faultless, and prarabdhaless, their progeny is bound to turn out handsome, virtuous, prosperous, and successful in life. That is why it has been ordained for the mutual benefit of men and women that men alone should do all the actions that cause prarabdha, and yet get liberated from it through the medium of their women, who are born prarabdhaless, and who should be allowed to remain in the same state by keeping them aloof from all actions, and in an inactive, detached, simple, virtuous, and prarabdhaless state. And those sects are actually seen to behave like that today. Like a bad soil leading to the growth of bad trees, in these days the women, by adopting independent attitude, have commenced behaving and acting like men. And thus, by becoming the makers of prarabdha, have lost their natural prarabdhaless state, have spoiled their minds, and have become responsible for upbringing a progeny which is wicked, malicious, mean, and destructive. Oh, gentle women, you know that good soil alone yields the best corn. If then you wish to have handsome, virtuous, respectable, successful, godly, and gem-like children, and to have both the temporal and spiritual happiness, with liberation in the end, and it is but natural for you to desire for all this, it is high time for you to give up this harmful spirit of manly independence, to stop to act on your own like men, and thus forthwith cease to form any prarabdha. Please remember that this so-called independence of yours is very harmful. It ultimately leads you to suffering and pain only. Your actions form prarabdha, and such prarabdha only leads you to suffering and pain. Your natural, normal state is prarabdhaless, the state of God, capable of giving you and yours all happiness and liberation. Due to improper association with men and the improper education imparted to you, your eyes are directed to things beyond your natural and normal sphere. And this has led us to the present degeneration of ours. The present day men and women are not what they really should be. The present day women are neither dealing with the affairs of the world in a proper independent spirit, nor with the spiritual life which is their natural heritage. They have no idea of what temporal happiness is while they are missing the spiritual one. They have simply set aside the real necessity of their having a permanent saubhagya. But for the female form, they resemble and behave like men. They are half men and half women. Even though externally they are females, their mental outlook is neither that of a man nor of a woman. In fact, they can be called sexless. Even though externally they are females, their mental outlook is neither that of a man nor of a woman. In fact, they can be called sexless. And they are bound to have a real sexless status in their ensuing birth. Please think of the common saying, Yamati Sagati, meaning, you get the state to suit your thoughts and mental outlook. Or what Lord Sri Krishna has said in the Gita, Canto 8, Shlok 6,
Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tajatyante kalevaram tam tame veti kanteya sada tad bhava bhavitaha. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tajatyante kalevaram tam tame veti kanteya sada tad bhava bhavitaha.
Translated from the Sanskrit, it means, whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. This stanza means that the state in which the mind remains fixed at the end of the present life provides in the ensuing birth a body suitable to undergo the prarabdha thereof. It tells you that the sexless behavior and actions done in this life will provide one with a real sexless body in the ensuing birth. You know what sexless men and women are and look like. They are seen in every city. A sexless woman is utterly useless in every way. For worldly affairs, for family life, for serving God. This state will be inflicted on you due to your own manly actions done in the previous birth. Fair thinking will lead you to the conclusion that God has ordained that women should remain prarabdhaless for effortless attainment of both the temporal and spiritual happiness. And for this, she should follow her father prior to marriage and her husband after it. Or, in the case of predeceasing of the husband, her dutiful, virtuous son. You will appreciate that the natural prarabdhaless state is really advantageous in every way. and the so-called spirit of independence, to which one is wrongly introduced, is detrimental to one's own self-interest, and due to which one is forced to form the prarabdha, leading to unnecessary suffering and pain. If, however, a woman assumes independence to attain higher spiritual qualities, to attain God, to attain the bliss, or for conducting all her associates to the same goal, there is no objection to such assumption of independence. It is the independence asserted for taking part in the worldly affairs and for behaving and acting like men that leads to the formation of harmful prarabdha, and hence it is very detrimental to one's own real interest. So please, be on the alert. I, Upasani Maharaj, belong to your class. I have been knowing for over many a previous life of mine the greatness and glory of a woman's role. Even the saints attain the state of a saint through a woman. Being a real woman from within, I am perfectly able to understand where the present woman is misled, misguided, and wrong. See if you can take advantage of my warning. Otherwise, it will only be reap as you sow.